afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. We're on an experimental voyage today, so thanks for coming with us. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Sure.
And, wow, my mic sounds really loud.
Yeah, you do. You sound like Gulliver.
Well, I'm in charge.
You go, Gulliver.
I'm in charge.
Who's our sponsor this hour?
Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. They handle everything turf, everything ag. I mean, if you want a tractor, you want a mower, you want attachments for your tractors, you want service, they do it all over there. Go over and see them. You can reach them on the phone at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com. They're also a Honda dealer. They have all the Honda products, the generators, mowers. If it's Honda, they've got it. Go by and see them, and they're soon to be the new steel dealer in town. So keep your ears open for that. We'll be announcing it as soon as the product hits the floor.
Where are you going to put all that stuff?
Oh, man, we're just going to have it everywhere. You're going to be tripping over it when you walk in the door.
You'll have to buy something just to get out of the building.
That's right. You're going to have to buy your way out.
Yeah, bring a truck. Don't bring your Prius. You won't have room.
No, you'll have room.
So our experimental voyage today involves television. And so if you're listening on the local radio station, you're like, okay, that's kind of weird. We have always been on KCNR here locally in Redding.
I thought you were going to say we've always had a face for radio.
Yeah, that too.
That too.
Full disclosure. I guess it's about time we got down to full disclosure.
Yeah, come on.
So we've always been live on the air that way. Then our friend Robert Exter, he has always taken out the celebrations of capitalism, a.k.a. commercials, and made it commercial-free. So then you could listen to an MP3 file off of our website at wethepeopleradio.us. And so that's always available for you any old time. It goes back to, like, 2009. So we've got archives forever. And now our friend Rick Trader, that used to air our show out of Philadelphia, New Jersey, he has, I guess he is the American Uncensored News Network. So AUN Television. And they are all over the place. I'm not going to read you all the things, but I'll put it on the web and direct you to his site. So San Francisco, San Rafael, San Jose, the wine country.
I thought you weren't going to read it.
No, I wasn't going to read you all the secret numbers, all the secret channels.
All right.
I was like, oh, wow, this is a lot. Redding, Chico, Sacramento, Monterey, and in the future they'll be in Reno, Carson City, Tahoe, all that area. So,
what about Ukraine?
The Ukrainians are always 12% of our listenership.
That's
online,
right.
by the way.
They love us over there.
Yeah, big shout out to the Ukrainians.
I'm taking Ukrainian.
They've been solid listeners,
language.
Even when they weren't famous, you know, in our.
That's right.
You know, yeah. Congress and
we're
all
cutting
that.
Edge.
And we're going to spare you from talking about that. This will be your one break. Your one break of the week. You won't have to listen about the impeachment. So if you're listening live today, is January 26, 2020. Sometimes we air programs later. So this topic, however, I'm hoping we won't have to ever air this topic again, but I doubt that that's even possible. It has been going on for quite a while, and our guest today will give us the whole lowdown. We have covered this a little bit. We're talking about China today. So there's a tab at the top of the website at wethepeopleradio.us. If you go there, click on China, you'll see all the different shows we've done on China. And we have spoken, I believe, Dr. Chen, number one. We have a lot of Dr. Chens.
Mm-hmm.
Friends named Dr. Chen. I believe that it was maybe the second one who spoke with us about this. And hear a little bit about it. If you're not getting the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H Times newspaper or online publication, you're really missing out. They do an excellent job of covering things like this. You can we have links to them as well. They are theepochtimes.com. If you could just go to Epoch Times, it comes up in Chinese, which is kind of limiting unless you're Chinese.
Why? You don't read Chinese?
I typed it in and I was like, that was a dollar not well spent. I can't read it. But they have a really good online newspaper that they will email you, and they actually send you a hard copy paper once a week. And if you're smart, you will send your hard copy newspaper to somebody who loves newspapers, but maybe doesn't get factual news, like my mom. And you'll have that hard copy directed to them because, honestly, the stories are well written, the topics are well covered, and they are not being covered in the mainstream media. So it's my plug for the Epoch Times. Our guest today is Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. He's a veteran activist, easy for me to say, who's dedicated his life for the last 16 years to exposing the forced organ harvesting of the Falun Gong spiritual movement in China. With a resilient character and determined mind, he's been working hard on the front line of a significant cause, which has been coined a new form of evil. Isn't it amazing? We keep coming up with new forms of evil. It's hard to believe. You'd think we'd get smarter as we get farther along the trail, but apparently not. He's been traveling the world in a crucial attempt to raise awareness about the forced organ harvesting of the Falun Gong in China, where hundreds of thousands of innocent practitioners have been rounded up, sent to over 800 state-mandated hospitals, their organs cut out of their bodies while they're alive. The organs are then sold for massive amounts of profit, and then bodies are burned in crematoriums to consume the evidence. And one thing I learned from our show before, we said, well, gosh, you know, if they're doing this much organ transplant over there, they must be really good at it. They said, actually, they're not really good at it. And it kind of made sense, actually, once we thought about it. I mean, why would you don't have to get good at it. You can just go kill somebody else.
Right. And the not-so-good thing is if you do have a problem with it and it fails, you can they guarantee their work. They'll give you another one.
Yeah, like so, in 5 minutes because they have somebody waiting in the wings. So anyway. Horrible. And so I know you've sent us a list of, you know, kind of like a little roadmap, Mitchell, but we can start wherever you would like.
Well, Aaron and Bill, I'm just very honored to be on your show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. And because many of the mainstream media outlets, especially on the left, the NBCs of the world, the ABCs of the world, CBS, have bowed to the Chinese government's concealment of this. And I'm just grateful to be on your show to share a little bit of the insights. We won't have much time to go into full detail as the other investigators have done all over the world, to the United Nations, to the governing bodies, to other news agencies around the world. But just to share a little insight about the spiritual movement that has been so brutally targeted by the Chinese communist regime, and share a little insight about how this new form of evil could even exist in this time of peril that we are in now, with the virus from China threatening global pandemic rates that we've never seen before, war, and just a total exposure of this new form of evil. So I'm just very glad to be on your show, and thank you again.
Well, we're happy to cover it. We like to cover things that, you know, the mainstream media has a habit of covering everything in a soundbite, sensationalizing it. And, you know, I guess if we were on mainstream media, we would try to tell the whole story. But we're not the experts, so we've exhausted our knowledge now, and now it's all up to you. How about maybe we take a really quick break at this point, and we can play our good friend Carly Simon.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over. But they want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
This is always the part where the commercial starts, so I've got to rethink it. All right, we are back. Mitchell, go ahead and start wherever you'd like, and I've got your audio hopefully queued up and in the correct spot for you.
Wonderful. Can you hear me? Am I coming in loud and clear?
You could be louder.
Can I be louder? How about that?
That actually sounds pretty good.
Sue, wonderful. We're going with head fakes from Sue in the other room. We have a double pane glass, which is really not all that conducive to conversation. we have to do hand signals. Is that good? Bad? Okay. All right. Moving forward.
So you can pick it up right where you left off there. You're coming in loud and clear.
Okay, absolutely. Okay. So, yes, thank you, everybody, for listening in and allowing me this precious time. I know people's times are valuable, so I will make this precise and short and as sweet as possible. What we are facing is a new form of evil, and to understand how organ harvesting, forced organ harvesting, Aaron and Bill, could happen in China, it is crucial to understand that there is no limit to how far the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, which controls China, the Chinese government, and the Chinese people for the last 50 years, has wiped out 5,000 years of Chinese culture, decimated up to about 50, between 60 and 100 million people, more than two world wars combined, murdered, destroyed, left in ruin. And there is no limit, like I said, how far the Chinese Communist Party will go to wipe out something or someone. And when the persecution of Falun Gong, which is the spiritual movement, it's very similar to Chinese yoga, deeply rooted in ancient modalities like Tai Chi and martial arts. Falun Gong became the largest spiritual movement in China between 1992 and 1998, with a following of over 100 million people. Government estimates by 1998 shared that there was between 80 to 100 million people of all walks of life and all classes practicing these slow-moving traditional exercises, five incorporated into the practice, and based on a philosophy that is rooted universally on truthfulness and compassion and tolerance. And this just became the life force of China, this one particular spiritual movement. And when this became the largest movement in China, the persecution started in July 1999 because the Chinese regime called Falun Gong the biggest threat to national security since Tiananmen Square 10 years before. And today they are even more terrified than ever. And the official Communist Party documents that were recently issued in that time stated that the competition against Falun Gong is the principal means of competition for the hearts and minds of the masses. And what is important to note that Jiang Zemin, not many people are familiar with Jiang Zemin. A lot of people know about President Xi, who became a complete dictator, Hu Jintao, who was a former prime minister of China. But not many people are familiar with Jiang Zemin, the leader of the Chinese Communist Party in 1999, when the persecution against the Falun Gong began. He was seeking a way to consolidate his own power while also eliminating the largest movement of thought in recent Chinese history. So to achieve his goals, he knew he needed to do one thing, more than anything, hate, to spread a weaponized, demonic propaganda machine worth at least, based on the former Secretary of State's account, of about $1 billion a year, one quarter of China's gross domestic profit, to demonize Falun Gong and eradicate them and then send them to death camps through the eradication process to cut out their organs while alive. And the key to carrying out this persecution has been to instill the hatred in the masses toward Falun Gong. So with the largest propaganda machine and network in the world, the largest military, the largest economy in the world, Jiang Zemin, the former prime minister, launched the campaign of villainous lies and slander targeting Falun Gong practitioners, their beliefs, and their bodies, sending hundreds and thousands, once the persecution racked up and really commenced into its years, mandated that hundreds and thousands of Falun Gong practitioners be sent in steel sealed containers under the watchful eye of the Chinese military to state-mandated hospitals, turning the doctors into murderers, basically cutting out the organs while alive, with very little anesthesia, just to sedate the people, the practitioners, so they won't escape, and four people don't have to hold them down, then start extracting while they're alive the organs, the pancreas, the kidneys, the livers, the heart, the eyes, the skin, to sell on the black market as well as on the open market for millions and millions of dollars, and then burn the bodies in the crematories of the ovens and ovens of the hospitals, as well as embalming the bodies bodies, hundreds of bodies, and selling them off to the body exhibitions that have been touring the world, a $60 million business by the German fellow Van Gogh. This is where we're at right now.
Yeah, I remember one of those exhibitions was in New York here a couple of years ago.
For those of us who maybe missed that, what exactly is that?
It's the one where the cadavers are doing all sorts of, they're displayed in all sorts of kinds of movements, and you'll see the actual organs in display cases. It's a very creepy exhibition, but they've made millions of it. The cadavers that have been stripped completely naked, basically, and have been placed in all different kinds of ways, playing tennis, having sexual intercourse. This is very disturbing, playing different kinds of sports and interacting as if they were alive. And we have found out, based on the investigations, that these are actual Falun Gong and Uyghur Muslim bodies, as well as house Christians as well. Oh. So it's very disturbing.
Well, wow. I mean, I hate to be naive, but what is the point of that? Just to be sensational?
Exactly, and to make a lot of money, yes. Mm-hmm.
I guess it was here. Sue just sent me a note. It was here in Reading a couple of years ago. Happy I missed that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is there any way that you could play some of the first soundbite? Because I think the soundbites are extremely telling from the investigators.
Okay, so the first one we're listening to is going to be about what? Do you need setup for that?
It was David Kilgore and David Mattis on the BBC explaining when this first came out, BBC Radio. So I think that was quite a telling interview. And I've cut it just to make sure that it's not too long.
Okay. Well, we're going to venture out on the water again. Darn it, we were on land. We had it all figured out, but okay, let's try it. Here we go. Pushing play.
We talk a rather upsetting issue, allegations that have repeatedly been aired, that China plays a part in harvesting organs, mainly of executed prisoners. The numbers run to thousands every year. The organs then get sold on for transplants. It's always been vehemently denied by the Chinese government. But here in Britain, representatives of a campaign called Forced Organ Harvesting have been looking at the issue, and they've gone as far as presenting their latest findings to the British Parliament. Two representatives join us here in the studio. Welcome to David Kilgore, former member of the Canadian Parliament, and Ethan Gutman, author of several books on China, who've both been involved in the investigations, are here to tell us a little bit more. David Kilgore, if I could start with you, what are the latest findings of your investigation? What are you closing in on?
About 65,000 Falun Gong practitioners have been killed and their organs trafficked. There are other people, too. Convicted prisoners are killed, of course. But the thing that we're focusing on is the Falun Gong community. My colleague, Ethan Gutman, has done a lot of work on the Uyghur community. He'll probably want to say something about that. But, yeah, there's no doubt. We have 52 kinds of evidence that this is happening. To give you the easiest example, the wife of a surgeon told us that her husband had removed the corneas from 2,000 Falun Gong practitioners in a two-year period. So, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind. We've got two books on it. We've got all kinds of...
And these, just to clarify, these come after judicial executions?
No, there is no judicial involvement in virtually all of the Falun Gong. That's the thing that nobody understands.
Okay, right. So we better clarify this, because we often cover the fact that China, of course, has one of the highest rates of execution, judicial execution. It's their choice. That's what they do. And they're always there in the top three, along with Saudi Arabia and Iran. But this is something different.
Exactly. It's because a police signature is all you need to get sent to a forced labor camp. And then basically what happens is somebody from, it could be London, it could be Canada, goes over there for a liver. And there's a computer bank, and it says there's a match for you out in camp number 50. And somebody's dragged out of camp number 50 into an operating room, their liver's taken out of them, it's flown to Shanghai where you're probably waiting for your liver, and you come back to London with a new liver, and somebody has been killed like a lobster in a grotesque restaurant.
Hang on a minute, so you're not even saying, because, I mean, it's one issue, the judicial executions and the use of the cadaver, which I suppose in a certain legal sense is the property of the state once the state has killed the individual, but you're saying these are people being killed to order?
Precisely, and it's so, as you say, your horror shows how distressing it is. But yet it never gets mentioned that these are people who've been maybe giving out pamphlets asking them to stop killing Falun Gong, and they're guilty of nothing.
Ethan Goodman, also here. Can we step back just a moment before we talk a little more about this? I want to find out, there is a shortage of organs because people don't donate them. Is that why? What are the cultural reasons why there is this kind of shortfall that fuels this market that you allege you have evidence for?
Well, there is a cultural shortfall, but that's in part because the Chinese government has never really promoted it. They didn't have to. They have this massive supply, possibly, you know, up to 3 million prisoners out there. You know, of those prisoners, perhaps 25-30% are prisoners of conscience. Some people who aren't even in the system, never even registered into it. They just kind of they've disappeared. These are people who often even don't give their names to protect their families or their locations. These people are prime candidates for organ harvesting.
Now, the allegation is, I mean, it's left me open-jawed, what you've just said. I have to ask you more precisely, what evidence do you have? Who have you spoken to, for example, who is actually involved in this trade that you allege is there?
Start in the beginning. In 1995, there's a man in this city, Enver Toti, who you can interview yourself. I suggest you bring him on the program. He performed a live organ harvesting of a prisoner who'd been shot in the left side of the chest in a non-lethal way. And he removed the kidneys and liver from this man. So you can start with that,
okay,
that acknowledgement, and then you can go to the massive evidence of prisoners, particularly Falun Gong, who were examined in Laogai and under extremely primitive conditions, and they're being tortured and they're not being fed and so on, but then they're taken to a modern hospital, just the Falun Gong, and there they look carefully at their corneas, not their eyesight, just their corneas.
So in effect, these you allege that these prisoners are being catalogued for what might be saleable or useful as a body part.
No, I think we're alleging that they've been harvested at a scale of possibly, you know, 10 to 15% of these prisoners of conscience.
Okay. How does the market operate? Who controls it, therefore?
I think there we've got a lot. I think there's where the work needs to be done, is how is this market operated? As I understand it, there was a doctor, a surgeon in Taiwan, who was well aware of this because he used to argue for the Chinese price for his patients. And they said, well, you know what, we really love you, the other doctor said. So we're going to give you the Chinese price. Not only that, we're giving you all Falun Gong. These people don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't have hepatitis. And I asked him that question, well, how's this done? He said through sort of an informal eBay system in China.
Right, so if there's an informal system, this also means that ultimately the Chinese government can deny any involvement in it, which they always have done. Yeah, they've said that they've been made aware of some of these problems and they have taken action to systematically root this out. That's what they've always said.
But there's one problem.
Briefly?
Yes. The six high-ranking officials checked into an Urumqi hospital in 1997, and they were waiting for organs. A young doctor was told to go into the prisoner, political prisoner wing of the Uyghur prison. Uyghur. And there he had to examine the blood of all the political prisoners for these six high-ranking officials. China's a surveillance state.
It's going on now, though. You're saying that's an example from 1997. We're now in 2013.
But this is a surveillance state, and who gets watched? The medical hospitals, the military, the party members.
Well, many thanks indeed. We'll have to leave it there. We could talk more. Ethan Goodman and David Kilgore, many, many thanks indeed for coming in from the Forced Organ Harvesting Campaign.
You just three letters. Wow. I will post these clips of yours on the website for today so that people, you know, if they'd like to send them to people and they don't want to listen to the whole program or whatever, they can at least send these clips because that was a lot of information in a very short period of time. We need to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with our guest and continue to cover this topic because, honestly, it's depressing, I guess you might say, but the only thing more depressing than forced organ harvesting happening in China is the fact that people aren't paying attention. And if nobody went there to have a transplant, they wouldn't really have much business. So anyway, we'll do our part to get the word out. Our guest today is Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
shall jump in that paddle wheel pumping. Black water keep rolling on fast, just the same.
Oh, black water keep on rolling.
Mississippi, who won't you keep on?
So, well, we were on the break. We were just kind of talking about how this whole thing, Mitchell, takes surveillance to a whole new level. I mean, when people get home at night in China, they got to feel like they actually accomplished something getting through their day.
They survived. Yeah, it's amazing to me that you get arrested. You get basically blood typed and inspected for all your potential organs, and then they catalog you.
And makes you want to start drinking heavily.
Yeah.
Or taking up other bad habits.
Yeah. It just, wow. And then you end up in a book of potential donors.
Yeah, literally on the menu.
Yeah.
So, you know what, Mitchell, I'm curious. How did you get involved in this?
Very, very good question. Thank you, Aaron. Well, first of all, just to add on to the surveillance state of China, I live in communist Vietnam. I actually am doing intel with the Vietnamese who practice the Falun Gong there. And the Epoch Times that you mentioned, we have a branch called the Eastern Wind in Vietnam that gathers the intelligence and helps the New York Epoch Times, which is growing exponentially each and every day. I mean,
they're amazing. Yeah. They just cover everything.
Yes, phenomenal newspaper and conservative newspaper. And when I was in Vietnam, the Chinese Communist regime bribed the Vietnamese Communist Party with land deals, investments, and huge monetary bribes to come after us and stop us. And when I was in the States last year, as I am in the States right now, celebrating Christmas and New Year, I got a conference call, that we are shutting down based on security reasons and because the communist regime is out to get us, because we were doing so well and we were gaining such support and garnering such viral support from our channel on Facebook and other places on social media, that we had to shut down our offices and go into hiding. So I had to come back to the States, and then I went back to Vietnam. So I'm going back into Vietnam in 2 days to help more. But yes, how I got involved, Aaron, was I was studying international business at the University of Georgia in 2001. I even remember the exact date, May 4th. 2001. May the force be with you. Right? May 4th, 2001. And a true Jedi legacy, as you can say. I mean, goodness, when I appeared at this, I guess it was a human rights or a cultured fair in the famous Athens, Georgia, the town of Athens in Georgia, at the University of Georgia, I came across the Falun Gong practicing these exercises, and I was always a martial arts enthusiast. I loved yoga. I liked working out. And I was captured by the profound healing benefits and psychological and physiological benefits of these exercises that I've never heard of since coming into contact with them at the university. So I delved deeper. I read the books. I learned the exercises. Coming from a Judeo-Christian family. And then what really gripped my heart was this brutal persecution of the Falun Gong, 100 million people. So immediately, you know, in life, when something grips you and ignites your passion so deeply that you really can't explain the feeling, this is what occurred when I was 21. And for the last at least 20 years now of my life, goodness, it's been 20 years already. My God, I'm 40, 21. I just had my birthday, 40 in January. It's never occurred to me the stopping of my willpower and my forging ahead to expose this. Even today, I've been on many talk shows. I've done a lot of work around the world, but still going on, still being covered up. And not many people are aware of this new form of evil. They've heard about the Uyghur Muslims, but they haven't heard about the Falun Gong. So so long ago, at least 20 years ago, I took it upon as a crusade, a literal crusade, all on my own, where my family, my friends, society didn't even know anything about this and was encouraging me not to go forward based on the threats that I was receiving.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That was my next question. Where are you on the list?
Oh, I'm pretty high on the list, and I love being high on the list. It shows me that I'm doing the right work. You know, when the communist regime sends spies to break into your home, break into your car, break into your computer, send death threats, and you have to sit down with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the CIA, and different places around the world. You know, you have to, you know, you go into intelligence briefings, and then you go into London, and you sit down with the courts in London. It just shows you. The work that you're doing is breaking the back of the communist regime, making them very scared, and that's what they're doing now. They're on the run.
So you think
they're on the run?
So you think? I mean, it sounds like Vietnam is involved. I mean, at least complicit. Do you think other countries, you know, satellite nations from the Chinese are involved as well, or are they keeping this pretty close to the vest?
Absolutely, they are. Many are involved. Only four countries have stopped forced organ harvesting, have actually banned any organ tourism coming out of China after learning about the Falun Gong genocide, which is, the first one was Israel. Believe it or not, many people. Because many people think that organ harvesting exists in Israel. It does not. There was a couple of rabbis in upstate New York. They were caught, and I know ISIS was also very much into on a smaller scale, killing innocent people of towns that they were taking over and enforced organ harvesting. But there is no other government in the world, unlike the Chinese regime, that is killing on a large scale. On a specified date, millions and millions of their citizens for massive amounts of profits. But Israel was one. Then we have Taiwan, and we have Spain, and hopefully and Italy, and hopefully more will come. But think about this. Only four countries out of how many 200 countries in the world have actually forced, put into laws on their books to stop this? Only four. So this, because there's so much money involved, I mean, a multi-billion dollar operation started by the communist regime. And once this started, I mean, the organ tourism skyrocketed in the United States by 30-40%. Canada, from South Korea, Pakistan, other Southeast Asian countries. And so when you are getting organs on a specified date, when before you were receiving organs 4 or 5 year waiting
yeah, sure.
for a heart or kidney, you are the money is amazing.
There's no way they can, you know. Yeah, we'll I'm going to have my vacation in March. Can I come over and get a kidney? Oh yeah, we'll have one ready for you. That's got to be a red flag. How many? Do you have numbers on how many people from the United States actually go to China for transplants?
We don't have the exact numbers. I do believe that there are. It is staggering because to have a specified date to prepare organs,
right.
People do come straight from. Like I said, the organ tourism skyrocketed between 30-40%. And Ethan Gutman was talking about the Laogao system. Laogao, translated into English, is the labor camp system. So this is a strategic final solution campaign operating and established and founded by Jiang Zemin and his gang of scoundrels and the Reign of Terror, which is the communist regime. So when they initiated this Final Solution campaign, they created massive hospitals. They've created a massive labor camp system to detain and send hundreds and thousands, if not millions, of Falun Gong practitioners. Because when you have 100 million people, they actually created data banks.
Sure.
They've done this to the Uyghur Muslims. That's why you have 1 million to 2 million in concentration camps right now, as that's been coming out on the mainstream, but not the Falun Gong. Not many have heard about the Falun Gong. Fox did a great report online on their online database. Many friends sent me the video and say, "Hey, Mitch, take a look at this. It's coming on the mainstream." But not many mainstream channels have actually exposed this. The BBC has had Ethan Gutman and David Kilgore on to talk about the numbers. Their books are really, really profound and really good. If anyone would like to know about this before I leave the broadcast with you, I can share the books with them. But what I find very interesting, Bill, is that this year a number of developments are swiftly raising awareness of this issue and sounding alarms. And the foremost among these is the independent tribunal into forced organ harvesting of prisoners of conscience, namely Falun Gong in China. And it was chaired by the eminent British barrister and professor Sir Geoffrey Nice QC. Now, Nice was the prosecutor of Slobodan Milosevic at The Hague and subsequently worked on cases before the Permanent International Criminal Court. And these tribunal consists of a group of experts from a variety of fields who evaluated the evidence of organ harvesting, which is extremely hard to believe. I mean, people can't believe it. They cannot fathom, oh, you know, that issue. Oh, is that really going on? Is that going on? This is what I've been told by the investigators who I sat down with at the International Tribunal of Natural Justice, which is a child trafficking court in London at Westminster Abbey. And after first reading evidence for about 9 months before holding 3 days of hearings in London on December 2018, the tribunal issued an interim judgment that stated the tribunal's members are all certain, unanimously, and sure beyond reasonable doubt that in China, forced organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners has been practiced for a substantial period of time involving a very substantial number of victims. And they go into more about this. And at endtransplantabuse.org, people can download the books, they can read the transcript for free, and it's quite telling. It's really amazing that these are the acts alleged are equivalent to any of the major crimes against humanity of the 20th century, if not in scale, then certainly in severity.
And it has no end in sight. The potential is, I think.
Well, if there's no pressure to stop it, they're going to just continue.
Yeah, what makes it end? We have to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with our guest. We are discussing the forced organ harvesting practices in China, and this isn't something that only affects the Chinese. It affects everybody, because when that happens in one place, you have to be sure it's going to come for somebody else. You can find all the information about the program at wethepeopleradio.us.
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. I can hear.
I know the answer for me is don't go to China.
Yeah.
It'd be so scary.
Yeah.
I mean, Mitchell, do you ever go to China? I know you said you're in Vietnam, but do you ever go to China?
I'm blacklisted. I cannot go to China.
Oh.
After Chinese spies came to me and I went to the FBI. No, I'm not allowed to go. But I was wondering.
I was going to say that'd be a bad choice for you. But,
yeah, I wish I could, and if I had to, I would. I'm a warrior of that. I love to put. I'm a do or die warrior. I love to put my life on the line to protect others. That's a great honor to me. But anyway, that's another time. That's another story.
Your parents are probably not got all excited about that.
No, not at all. But you know what? You got a man has to do what a man has to
yeah.
do. To fail to support the good and to fail to expose evil is unacceptable.
Yep.
So I just wanted to ask you if you could be so kind as to play another soundbite by Edward McMillan Scott. It's audio clip 6. And to preface it is that Edward McMillan Scott is the four-time European Parliament Vice President. And he did a great speech at the United Nations, or the European Parliament, and it's quite telling. And I was wondering if you can play that one.
Yeah, tell me this. How long is it? Do we know?
It's about 5 minutes, but don't worry, you won't have to.
Oh, 5 minutes, fine.
We're all good. I just want to make sure it doesn't get cut off at the pass by the news.
Okay, great.
All right. Let's see.
It's clip 6, yes.
All right.
Edward McMillan Scott.
Gotcha. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
Edward McMillan Scott.
Thank you very much indeed, Peter. I wrote a report on EU-China relations in 1996-7 for the Foreign Affairs Committee and returned to Beijing in 2006, where I met ex-prisoners of conscience, Falun Gong practitioners, as well as made contact with a number of other dissidents and reformers. All the Chinese with whom I had contact were then imprisoned, and in some cases, like Gao Zhisheng, tortured. Gao Zhisheng is a Christian human rights lawyer, very, very well known in China, who investigated the persecution of Falun Gong and wrote reports about it. And one of the people I met, Cao Dong, who'd been in prison, told me the story about how his best friend had disappeared one evening from the cell in their prison. And the next time he saw him, it was his body in the prison hospital with holes where body parts had been extracted. The belief that I have, and I share with David Kilgour, that organ harvesting is widespread in China, and it is restricted almost exclusively to Falun Gong practitioners. The only prisoners in China who are routinely blood tested and blood pressure tested are Falun Gong practitioners. The organ transplant industry is in the hands of the military. The People's Liberation Army is responsible for the hospitals, the transportation of body parts, and the sale of them. It is therefore a governmental activity and constitutes genocide under Article 2 of the Genocide Convention. Curious is that my final word is, with respect to you, Peter, the Falun Gong are to the Chinese regime of today what the Jews were to the Nazis during the war. And we should all take note of this and look at China with new eyes. The European Parliament comes from a very diverse background, and as Peter has already said, even within this quite straightforward resolution, there are still problems, because the absolute deluge of propaganda from the regime in Beijing, vilifying Falun Gong as some sort of extremist cult. Now, I've met, as I said, hundreds of members of Falun Gong. It is not a sect, it is not a cult, there is no money involved, there is no brainwashing. All the normal characteristics of a cult simply don't exist. These are people who practice their spiritual exercises on their own, and yet, as I said, because between 70 and 100 million people in 1999 were practicing Falun Gong, this was seen by Jiang Zemin, then the leader of the Communist Party, as a threat to his own position. It wasn't, of course, but he saw the opportunity of creating an enemy within. Just as during the war, the Nazis singled out the Jews as a special characteristic and did what they did to the Jews. The same is happening today to Falun Gong in China. That is why it is genocide. That's why I say it's so serious. As to whether we can convey this to all the members of the European Parliament, it's quite difficult. It is quite difficult, but we're trying. And that's what this press conference is about. There'll be other activities today and beyond. I will maintain my campaign, especially until the people I had contact with are released from prison. On the question of Manfred Novak and his reports and his attempts to try and get to the truth about the situation in China, he's told me that he believes that more than two-thirds of the prisoners in China in re-education through labor or forced labor camps are Falun Gong practitioners. That is a huge number of people. Now, at the end of the Kilgometer's report, you will see a list of more than 3,000 Falun Gong practitioners who have died under torture. To the regime, those are wasted people, but nevertheless, they have died under torture in the prison camps. I've met hundreds of Falun Gong who have been through this terrible process of escalating torture. I believe that we should, in Europe, now set up something like happened in West Germany during the Cold War at Salzgitter, where an impunity index was maintained of confidential denunciations from East Germany under communist rule against torture and maltreatment. And after reunification, a number of prosecutions followed of those people. And what we need in the world today is an impunity index maintained at an international level, in my view, by the EU in conjunction with the International Criminal Court, so that people in China or other countries where there's repression may make confidential denunciations, and having talked to ex-prisoners, they tell me that the one thing that gave them some hope was that one day the torturers would be brought to account. Now, in the report of David Kilgour and David Matus, those 3,000 Falun Gong practitioners who've died, in those cases, it has been established where they were arrested, where they were imprisoned, who did the torture. That is listed, and that's a fundamental point. And we should never, ever give up on the idea that one day justice will be done. Thank you.
Yeah, no. I think it's quite compelling what he just said.
No kidding. And so give us the number of people per year approximately.
Well, that's a very good question, Aaron, because when I was sitting down with the investigators in London, they were very careful, and they shared with me, Mitch, when you go on these talk shows, when you go and talk to the people, be very careful, because it's such a huge crime. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron and Bill, I'm not sure we really can fathom how serious this is, but this is a new form of evil that is yet to be exposed, and it will leave the world so stirred. They have shared with me that it's about 100,000 transplantations a year.
David See, and some of the dissidents we've spoken with have said up to 200,000. We're going to come back with our guest, Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, We the People Radio.
Thunder Cheap. Thunder Cheap.
Thunder Cheap.